Follow Hawks football all season long on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com.
Final 15 minutes of the regular season, about set to get up and running. Fourth quarter will commence with a snap here. Frazier will have it on a first and 10 for MU. Play action. Wants to go downtown. Looks to his right. He's got Sterling open at the 31-yard line. To the 20, to the 15. Down inside the 12 to the 11-yard line. Great play action out of the quarter break. And Monmouth knocking on the door. They'll have it first and goal from the Robert Morris 11-yard line.
Great job by Frazier. I believe the play was meant to go to the left side, and then he just happened to check the backside, and Sterling did a nice job getting it behind the cornerback before the safety, and Frazier makes a great throw, dropping it right in there.
Well, the offense has to take, as we've said, in the second half, a bit of the pressure off the defense, and that was a big play. Sterling will stay in. Formation to the right. Near side onto the left is Roberts. Two backs in the backfield. RMU showing blitz again. Frazier wants to go to work. In trouble. Now flush to the pocket. Rolls to his right. Gets down to the 10-yard line. Will run out of bounds at the 10. Pickup of a yard will be second and 9. You know, a yard on first down isn't what you want, but you'd rather that than some of the sacks we've seen so far today.
And it looks like maybe, you know, they had a word with him and say, come on, just pull the ball down and run. Get out of trouble. And he was trying to go to Sterling, who looks like if he forced it, you know, if you're going to force it to anybody, Tristan Roberts and Neil Sterling are two guys you can force it to, because they both have big bodies. Neil's got great hands. He gets in front of people. But I think Kyle ultimately did the right thing, not rushing it.
Roberts in motion. Gets it. Jet sweep to the right side. Flags are out. I think this is going to be some kind of an illegal block on MU, as Roberts was run out of bounds at the 8-yard line for a 2-yard pickup.
I don't say it often, but I would take that jet sweep and flush it right down the toilet. I think we've averaged about 3 yards of carry on it, and this one's going to throw that average back. The good thing is that we set up a lot of other plays on the jet sweep.
It is a holding call against Monmouth, and this will back the ball to the 20-yard line, where it will be second and 9. Would have been third and 8. Now second and 19. Thaddeus Richards will check into the game as the third wide receiver. Slot man to the right. Sterling wide man to the right. Near sideline to the left is Davenport. Nick Lafferty, tight end, set to the right side. And Asante, the back with Frazier. Frazier gets it. Wants to throw. Looking for Sterling. Fade pattern. Corner of the end zone. Sterling went up. Didn't come down with it, and even if he had, he would have been out of bounds. Frazier put a little too much air under that.
Yeah. I mean, you like to call only because Neil Sterling's going to get it done most of the time, but I'd like to chip away at a little bit of this second and whatever. Get into a third and manageable. Get 10 yards. Make it third and 9, you know? But here they are. It's not like they can't score from 21 yards out. They've done it plenty of times, and the offense is loaded with weapons. 20 yards out. Don't forget, Julian Hayes had a 23-yard run on 3rd and 18 against Duquesne a couple weeks ago.
It's Asante into the game. Trips package off the right side. Shovel pass to the inside for Asante. And he will lose a yard back to the 21. And at least sight unseen, you'd say Monmouth was basically playing for the field goal right there.
I guess so. I don't really know what to say. I would, you know, take the shovel pass, put it with the jet sweep. I believe the shovel pass, and Coach Gallo and I, we argue over the shovel because he loves it. Of course, it goes to his tight ends most of the time.
This is a big field goal for Spillane because it sets it back to a two-possession game. 38-yarder just made a 43-yarder. High snap, good hold, kick is up. It's on its way, it's got the distance, no good. Didn't push it to the right enough, hooked it to the left, and with 12:48 remaining, Robert Morris dodges a bullet, and we are still deadlocked at 20-14.
And that's how these games have gone. They've been close contests. Robert Morris, and they've done exactly what they've needed to do.
For Monmouth, they walk the outside linebackers up. RMU with a split wide receiver package. And Sinclair wanting to throw in the flat. That one deflected up in the air. Sutton was coming on the safety blitz, able to knock it down.
Great job by Sutton. You know, slowed up so he didn't make a mistake. Got his hands up, knocked the ball away, and Corey Neal was getting blocked. He saw the ball get tipped and just couldn't get over to it for the interception.
Sets up a second down and 10. 12:44 remaining in the fourth quarter. Reminder that immediately following our broadcast, Monmouth University men's basketball will follow. Sinclair will send Mitchell across the formation from right to left in motion. Three wide receivers into the game. Sinclair starts right, in trouble, eludes the rush, steps up in the pocket. Now going to tuck it and run, get back to the line of scrimmage, and then brought down by Sullivan and Louch. Does get positive yardage, two-yard pickup to the 23, and it will leave the Colonials with a key third down and eight situation for both teams.
That must have been a RMU spot right there. He gave him 2 yards on it, but looked like it was closer to the line of scrimmage, maybe a gain of a yard. Good job by the Hawks. A lot of pressure up front. Flushed him out of the pocket. The linebacker stayed home. Looked like they were playing zone on that. Everybody was covered. Nice job by this defense. And here we go. Back-to-back drives. Defense got to come up big on this third and eight.
Howard and Quarles, the two third down backs, check into the game for Robert Morris. Split wide receiver set again. Sinclair will send three out into the pattern. Doesn't have anybody down the field. In trouble. Will tuck it. Break the point of the line of scrimmage. Fumble football. And Monmouth has it back. I don't know who popped it out, but I know who was able to scoop it up. Joe Johnson with the fumble recovery at the 34-yard line. Big tackle for the Hawk defense, causing the fumble, and they finally get that key turnover.
Yeah, that was a good job. You saw Pat O'Hara. Well, you didn't see. You heard Pat O'Hara chasing him from behind. Demergian was there to hit the quarterback. O'Hara, Masick. Any one of them could have been credited with the sack. I'm sure RMU will give it to somebody. I'm sure the kids will come in and complain to me on Monday about it. But all you can say is that Joe Johnson, the freshman, got torched for the big play. He's always around the ball. Great job by him.
Now an opportunity for Monmouth to really take command of this football game. Trips formation to the right, tight end back to the left. Frazier from the middle of the field, checks over the defense, gets the snap, sends five out in the pattern, wants to throw, goes to the far sideline. That catch is made, hauled in, and then pulled out of bounds. Tristan Roberts to the 22-yard line. Missed opportunity last time with a missed field goal. This is an opportunity for Monmouth. They've got to get seven on the board.
Yeah, you got to at least get three. I agree with you, though. Seven is really what you want to do to try to put this team away. It's home. It's senior day. You know, Robert Morris is a very well-coached team. They have good players. You don't want to let them come back on you. Seven will really, really give you the advantage you need with 11:20 left on the clock.
Sumlin and Roberts left, Sterling up top to the right. Hayes will get the carry. Cut back of the line of scrimmage at the 20. He's got the corner to the 15, to the 10, to the 5. Dives forward. Did he get in? He did! Touchdown, Monmouth! Julian Hayes punching one in for the second time today. This one from 22 yards out, and the Hawks have gone up top. 26-14.
That was all Julian Hayes. He cut up, made the cut to the left, saw Eric Sumlin, nice block by the freshman. Defender turned his back. He was smart not to block him too hard, draw a penalty, and it was all Julian Hayes from about 17 yards out.
Monmouth will wisely go for two here to try to get the 14-point advantage. Just a quick note to our engineer in the studio, Lauren. We're going to do a quick reconnect on our next timeout. 11 minutes, 12 seconds remaining. Hawks going for two. Frazier gets the snap, looks for Roberts, doesn't connect with him. 11-12 to go. Hawks up by 12, 26-14. We step out for 60 seconds. Back right after this with more Monmouth football on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com.
And we welcome you back from Moon Township, Pennsylvania. Matt Harmon, Greg Viscomi, the season finale for MU on the gridiron. They lead it now 26-14 after that last touchdown run from Julian Hayes. His two today have given him 11 on the season rushing the football. Here's Lucas Santangelo on to kickoff. David Taylor once again back deep. Strong kick here from Santangelo. Taylor from 4 yards back in his own end zone. Going to come out. Get to the 10, out to the 15. Break a tackle or two and able to get out to the 18-yard line. There's a flag that comes out. Perhaps a face mask.
It's going to be a face mask on KB Asante. He was trying to wrestle him down, and he was getting away, and you know, I think he just reached up and grabbed the corner of the face mask. Unfortunately, it's going to be 15 more on the end of that run.
It is a personal foul face mask. That is the call. Ball should be pushed out to the 34-yard line. 11:06 remaining here in the fourth quarter. Been an entertaining ball game. We appreciate you joining us here on kind of an all-Mammoth day on the Shore Sports Network. I love games, days like this when it's Mammoth football, Mammoth basketball, one to the next. Makes it a blue and white day here on 1160, 1310 a.m. Man in motion is Jeter. Ball set here from the right hash mark. Reverse set up for Jeter. Set up pretty well, but a great tackle in the backfield by Jameson Zacharias, the senior, able to come up and make the stop for a one-yard loss. And if he doesn't make that tackle, Jeter might be dancing in the end zone.
Yeah, it was a great job by Jameson. Very, very nice job. And it looks like the switch to bring him in, play corner. You saw on the nickel down, which is that 3rd and 8 last time, Joe Johnson's been coming in as that safety. Maybe this is the way they ride out the rest of this year.
10.5 minutes remaining in the year. Sinclair will come up under center. Tight end right, split wide receiver set. Wanting to throw right, lets it go. Fade pattern, the intended target, Jeter. And Reggie Hildebrandt Jr. running step for step. The ball falling incomplete. Let's check real quick the NEC scoreboard. Things have gotten interesting, continue to be interesting in Staten Island, where Wagner leads Duquesne with about 6 minutes to play, 21-17. A win for the Seahawks. They go to the playoffs, a loss, and it opens the door up for Albany, who is blowing out Central Connecticut State, 42-7 at last check. St. Francis, PA on top of Sacred Heart, 34-17. Bryant and Bucknell tied at 14. Third down and 11. Shotgun formation. Three wide receivers. Quarterback draw for Sinclair. Off the corner. He's got the edge. He's got the first down. And will run out of bounds at about midfield. Boy, a missed opportunity for the Mammoth defense that time to make a stand and get the football right back.
And Sinclair has gotten 12 first downs on third downs with his legs. That's pretty good. And I talked to Coach Bobick at breakfast this morning. He said they not all of them were on flushes out of the pocket or scrambles. Some of them were design runs, and I think we've seen two or three today just like that.
Yeah, that's certainly a design run right there. Sinclair, the 6'3", 210-pound senior, hails from Pennsylvania. Split backfield look. Here's Taylor trying to punch it to the outside. Pat Gray will come up, make the tackle. There's several flags out. I've been waiting for him. Zacharias had his jersey halfway pulled off. That's got to be a hold.
Tell you what, another great job by Zacharias. He's the force player on that play. His job is to force everything back inside. Too bad there was nobody back inside to make the play at the line of scrimmage. But it looks like it is going to be a hold. And that'll march him back 10.
Zacharias, the senior from Maryland, put into the lineup here today. He has certainly seen time during the course of the down to the 43-yard line. Not yet a first down. It'll be second down and 4, but a 16-yard completion that time from Sinclair to Smith.
That's kind of what happens when you have a quarterback who's been kind of that's been killing you with his legs. The linebackers start to play a little closer to the line of scrimmage. They don't want to let him get out of the pocket and get wild, and then you get a tight end over top in the middle of that soft zone for a 16-yard gain to bail him out of trouble.
8:40 and running here in the fourth quarter. Here's the pitch to Taylor. Shorts out of the field. Looking for something. Doesn't have anything. And will get run out of bounds. Demersion and O'Hara among the Hawks on the stop. Loss of one will leave Robert Morris with a third down and 5.
O'Hara just held up the running back out of bounds so he didn't fall down. And an undressed player for Robert Morris shoved him. I love playing this team.
No flag.
I can't stand them.
There's not many teams you like in the league. Let's be honest.
There's two that I don't like, and this is one of them. They play gritty. If I worked for them, I'd probably love them, to be honest with you.
Here's Sinclair rolling right, trying to throw left. Looking down the field, he's got a man open. Catch made. Touchdown. Dwayne Mitchell has his second of the day. He beat Joe Johnson for one, just beat Jameson Zacharias for the other. And with 8:05 remaining, we are back to a one-possession football game.
Good job by Mitchell adjusting to the ball. Sinclair just kind of tossed it up. Sun in his face. He was able to kind of shoo Zacharias away, who had lost his footing a little bit. Comes up and catches the ball. Good job by the wide receiver. And Sinclair recognized the one-on-one coverage and just tossed it up.
Langer for the extra point. That kick is up, and it is good. Monmouth 26, Robert Morris 21. The story continues after we take a 30-second timeout. We're back with more Hawk football on the Shore Sports Network.
Follow Hawks football all season long on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com.
Going to come down to this, 8:05 remaining after Robert Morris able to punch one in. A 44-yard touchdown pass from Jeff Sinclair to Dwayne Mitchell. Six plays, 66 yards, took up 3:01 of the clock. Here is Langer to kick it off. Nagy into the sun, which is really bothering players. From the 8-yard line, out to the 25, breaks a tackle, gets to the 30. And was one tackle away from breaking it longer, but maybe a reason he broke the first tackle. It could have been an illegal block as a flag came in and thrown as there were some players down on the turf at about the 22-yard line. This would usually indicate illegal block or hold, one would have to think.
Nolan Nierhoff thinks so. He's on the 12.
Well, he's a smart guy, as the ball will be back up to about the 12-yard line. So Monmouth with a long field here. And again, you know, it's hard to say who's more in control of this football game. In the second half, it's basically been Robert Morris with Monmouth trying to answer back at stretches. But with the football and 7:59 remaining, you're handing it back off to your fifth-year senior quarterback and a very experienced offensive line and saying, go protect the lead.
Definitely. I like our chances here. I like the Hawks' chances. Kyle Frazier's got to be smart, not have any turnovers. You know, I think Julian Hayes back in there. That's a good move. Ride the hot guy.
This is Hayes on the carry. Not much to work with off the left side. Maybe got back to the line of scrimmage. Not much more than that. Farron Mason, the nose man, leading the charge with Mitchell, the defensive end. It'll bring up second and 10. Now, if Eddie was here, he would say, don't get conservative. Keep the ball in the air. Keep it doing what you've done offensively. Because you know at some point Robert Morris is getting the ball back anyway.
Yeah, no, I would agree with him. I don't think you should just bury your head in the sand, but...
Frazier, low snap. Pumps to his left. Throws to his right. Out of bounds. That play was doomed from the start. Had a low snap that he couldn't field very well and threw the timing off of everything. And now with the clock stopped and 7:18 remaining, Monmouth has a third down and 10.
That's all right, though. You know, that's what we said. Frazier's got to do smart things. He can't get sacked. He can't throw bad passes. He went to go, I believe, throw the slant, which is very well covered. And then look back to his right. He had Neil Sterling releasing. Just threw it away.
Biggest play of the day so far. A third and 10 for MU from their own 13-yard line. Four wide receivers into the game. Three right, one left. Frazier in trouble again in his own end zone. Scrambling, looking for something down the field. Trying to get it to Sterling. Slides forward. Did he make the catch? He did. How about Neil Sterling coming back to the football, sliding on his backside and making the reception. And it will give Monmouth a first down out to the MU 28.
How many times has Neil Sterling been a receiver, quarterback's best friend? Sees Frazier in trouble, give him a lot of credit, got away from the rush, in the end zone, got away from a defender, scrambles out to his right and hits Sterling. And I like the tempo of the Monmouth offense. They're not taking their time, they're not grinding out, they're trying to get on the line of scrimmage, tire out this MU front three, and get some yards. Our MU front three.
Three wide receivers set this time. It'll be Hayes on the carry. Cuts back of the line of scrimmage. Hayes lowering the shoulder, picking up 8, maybe 9 yards out over the 35. Close to the 37-yard line. 6.5 minutes to go, and the clock moving.
Boy, what a nice job on his cutbacks today, Julian Hayes. I mean, he's looking, he's running the play the way it's supposed to be, and as soon as it's not there and they're all bunched up in the middle, boom, makes a quick cutback, picks up 9 yards.
Nine, in fact, is the call to the 37-yard line. They gave him forward progress to one shy of a first down. We're down to 6 minutes remaining in the quarter. Monmouth leading by 5. It will be Hayes again. Another nice cutback to get a first down out to the 43-yard line. That's a gain of six. And now the clock's starting to become a factor. You'd have to think, you know, Monmouth, two things. Score, and you probably put, you know, a good couple of nails in the coffin of Robert Morris. But at the very least, keep working the clock now.
Yeah, and they're definitely doing that. A little bit slower up to the line of scrimmage. Saw them hurry up two plays ago. Now they're a little bit slower. You're out at midfield. You got a fresh set of downs. I think back to the Lehigh game when a lot of the players and Coach Callan said in the fourth quarter, the offensive line was able to wear them down, and that's looks like what's happening right now.
Ball at the Monmouth 43. Hayes up the middle. We'll get to the Hawk 48 for a gain of five, and it will bring up a second and five. And now watch. That play clock, I bet, on in between every snap now will get down inside of 5 seconds.
Definitely, and I don't, you know, this is a nice position to be in. You don't want to throw the ball here, I don't think, unless you got something really safe like a screen. You want to keep the clock moving, but you can't get real predictable. I don't want to be in Coach Van Zyl's shoes right now because you're really kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Play clock is down right now to five. Frazier with Robert Morris showing blitz. Hayes will get it. Good blocking up front, considering that RMU was selling out with all four linebackers coming. Breaks the plan of midfield. Takes it to the Robert Morris 49-yard line. Too shy of a first down. And another one of those situations. Very interesting play call here. Do you keep it on the ground? Hope that you get two? You have to think Robert Morris is thinking run. So maybe that sets up the pass.
Hey, if you're going to throw the ball, you go zone read, I think. This way, Kyle, fifth-year senior, leaving it in his hands. If he thinks he can get around for those 2 yards of the first down, let him keep it. If he thinks he can hand it off to Julian for the first down, give it to Julian.
Robert Morris, five-man front. The inside linebacker showing blitz. Hayes gets the carry, not going to get anywhere close to the first down. He'll lose a yard back to midfield. And now on fourth and three, Monmouth will punt. And they will give Robert Morris back the football with a lot of time remaining. Both teams have three timeouts. And 26-21, the punt team will come on for the Hawks.
I don't hate this call. Like I said, you got to keep the clock moving. Robert Morris, with the exception of the two long pass plays, doesn't really show you the ability to with a quick strike. So maybe if you get a little pressure on the quarterback, you're all right. I like this call. I like Coach Callahan punting the ball. Probably call a timeout here with a second left, I'd assume.
Well, the play clock is wound all the way down, and Monmouth will take the delay of game to use every possible second that they can. I think probably thinking they want to save the timeouts just in case Robert Morris does score.
Right.
And Monmouth gets the football back, keep all three, and sacrifice the 5 yards. That was a tough play call on third and two because Robert Morris, again, brought eight up into the box and ran the football.
Yeah, but you know what? Like I said, if you throw the ball there and you get an incomplete, then you're now...
Then you stop the clock.
Right. So, you know, not a great position to be in, but... I think they did the right thing overall.
Moore with a pretty good kick. Quentin Pearl will let it bounce.
Get on.
And it will be downed at the 1 yard line.
Great job by Ryan Moore.
Pretty good time to pull out your best punt of the whole season.
3:10 to go, 99 yards.
Moore skies that one deep. Was downed on good coverage down the field. So, as we said, the offense had their crack to maybe put the game away with points on the board. They did half of the job, which was work the clock and play the field position game. Now it's the defense's turn. Can't ask for much more. The team's pinned down at their own 1 yard line. If they go 99 yards and score, well, then you say, great drive.
Right. The thing you don't want to see is a quick strike, you know.
Mitchell has been the dangerous target. Single wide receiver to the right.
Send him.
Sinclair in trouble. They look for Mitchell down the field. Double covered Gray and Hildebrandt Jr. just for a second. That looked like it had some promise off the right arm of Sinclair, the right hand of Sinclair.
And I think, like I said, that safety help is going to be huge on this drive. You know, Reggie's pretty good. He's always got his guy kind of locked down. And it looks like Mitchell's complaining about the sun. He was just had his arm up talking to the offensive coordinator.
Well, the problem there, too, for Robert Morris is it was easy to get safety help because he was the only guy in the pattern.
Yeah, they did max protect on that one.
Now the Colonials will open it up with a two-wide receiver set. DJ Hayes to one side, Quinton Pearl to the other. Sinclair going to hand it off to Taylor. Able to break through the line. He will have a first down out over the 11-yard line. I think where the spot of the football is going to be, it's going to give him just enough for the first down. And the chains will definitely move here, so Robert Morris gets at least out of the area where a safety could come into play.
Well, don't forget that 15-yard sack Sinclair took earlier in the game. I don't think he'd be inexperienced enough to do that twice, but...
Comes up under center with a tight end at either side and a receiver to either side. Keep an eye on Mitchell. He's receiver off to the left side, now joined by Hayes, who motions across the formation. Sinclair rolling to the left, looking for Mitchell. Couldn't hang on to it. Alligator arms that time, perhaps, for the talented sophomore. Didn't go up and fully extend. And I do think the sun is a factor here for those Robert Morris receivers, looking back into a very bright sunshine.
And Jameson Zacharias was coming across, did a great job laying off on the big hit. Saw the pass was thrown behind him. If he would have laid out Mitchell on that, it would have been another 15 yards and a first down. Very heady play by the senior.
Let's see what Monmouth does defensively here. I would imagine Hildebrandt has to be the guy who's going to track Mitchell a little bit more, and they'll match up here one-on-one.
I think you got to send some kind of pressure, too.
Mitchell starts in motion. Sinclair in trouble. Here comes the pressure, and there's a sack. There's a flag out as well. I believe it was Demetrius Smith on the sack of Sinclair. Can't think what the penalty would be unless you're going to call a hold. Didn't look like it was a nasty hit or a nasty tackle, did it?
So the face mask or a hold, I got to think. Or did he pick it up?
No, it's going to be against Monmouth. That's a personal foul. That's a face mask, and that's tough for the Hawks because now you're going to set up Robert Morris with a first and 10 from their own 21-yard line, and it would have been third and long from back again inside their 10.
You know what, though? You just got to keep getting up, keep grinding at them. They did a good job. That's a tough position for the D lineman to be in. Sinclair's hunched over. Whistle probably could have been blown, and you just get a piece of his face mask. That, you know, it's a tough call.
Clock running, coming up on 2 minutes remaining. Evans, the tight end, motions from right to left. Sinclair again wants to throw. No pressure this time. Lets it fly. Wants Mitchell, and he dropped the football. That time he had beaten Reggie on the coverage and could not hang on to it. And if he did, he might have been able to run away for a touchdown.
Yeah, Pat Gray was a little bit late getting over on the pattern. I don't know if he would have had the touchdown on it. That went right off his hands. And that's the second one. Really, he's been targeted three times on this drive. He's dropped two, and then the alligator armed the other one. So, I mean, when you're a sophomore, it seems like he's got a lot of talent. Definitely a good player for them, but not getting it done right now.
He'll be a guy certainly to keep an eye on the next few years for Robert Morris. Hayes and Mitchell this time will go out in a twin set as the play clock was winding down, and Robert Morris will have to use a timeout. With that, we will take a timeout as well. 2:03 to play in the fourth quarter. Monmouth 26, Robert Morris 21. We're back in 30 seconds with more Hawk football on the Shore Sports Network.
You're listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com.
And we are back here from Joe Walton Stadium. A sunny late fall afternoon as the 2012 season coming to a close. 2 minutes, 3 seconds remaining. Reminder that immediately following this broadcast, Monmouth men's basketball coming up on the Shore Sports Network. Second down and 10 for Robert Morris. Three wide receiver package. Mitchell rotates over and will again be the intended target. Sinclair rolling, goes to the sideline. Catch is made by Quinton Pearl. He'll haul it in at the Hawks 33. It's another first down. But again, if you're Monmouth, you're protecting more against the big play. You've got to give something up, and it's usually those 8 to 10-yard patterns.
Yeah, it's a long time to ask somebody to cover a player. And I thought Jameson Zacharias did a nice job on him. You know, Bill Louch looked like he had the spy on Sinclair. Sinclair got out of the pocket. Louch, I think, with the foot injury, just not fast enough to kind of hawk him, get him down. First down, Colonials at their own 33.
Clock stopped right now as Pearl was able to get out of bounds. Buck 56 to go. Twins this time off to the right. Sinclair pumps, goes down, safety valve to Evan Taylor. Breaks one tackle, stays on his feet, gets to the 40-yard line for a gain of 7. And it will leave Robert Morris with a 2nd and 3. And the Colonials, I believe, have used their second timeout. It'll leave them with 1. While we have a 2nd, let's check out the Northeast Conference scoreboard. Out at the Pine Bowl in Loretto, St. Francis, Pennsylvania, leading Sacred Heart 41-17. Albany 42, Central Connecticut State 7. That game is at the half. Also at the half, Bryant and Bucknell all tied at 14. And according to my computer right now, this one has Wagner leading 23-17 with less than 2 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter. And a win for the Seahawks puts them in as the league's automatic qualifier for the FCS playoffs. Keep you updated on those scores and get you set for what we think is going to be a pretty exciting last minute 45 of the season here for MU. 2nd down and 3. Hawks lead 26-21. Split wide receiver set. Mitchell near side onto the right. Pearl up top to the left. Sinclair going to tuck it and run again. Make a man miss at the 45. Come forward and get just into Monmouth territory, just over the 50-yard line. And now with a minute 38, the Colonials getting ever closer to what would be the go-ahead score. That game in Staten Island has now gone final. Wagner will represent the NEC in the FCS playoffs. They beat Duquesne. Sinclair on 1st and 10. Almost was sacked. Flips it out in the flat. Catch is made by Taylor. He will run out of bounds at the 41-yard line for a gain of close to 9. 2nd and 1 coming up with 81 seconds remaining in the game.
You'd have loved to see Chris Luma get Sinclair on the ground. Probably would have forced even maybe the last time out. Almost had him. One thing to note, the player who was blocking Luma got up, could hobble back to the huddle. I'm going right at him this time. That's left tackle number 60.
That's Alex Kirsch, who was not expected to start today but did. Sinclair here on 2nd and short. Going to the sideline. He's got his target. The catch made. It is Dwayne Mitchell to haul it in for the first down. And gets down inside the Monmouth 30 to the 29-yard line. Nail biter. And that guy that you just talked about, Greg, Alex Kirsch, is down right now at the 35-yard line. The clock stops with a minute 16 to go.
Good thing for the Hawks because they're getting a little breather here. That D-line's getting a little breather, getting an opportunity to recharge. But I saw him get up on the play before. Basically, he had, I don't know if he got rolled up on or if Luma had landed on top of him, but he had gotten up and barely got back to the huddle. I don't know exactly what the rule is here, and I probably should, but injury timeout inside of 2 minutes, they might have to burn a timeout here.
Burn a timeout? No, there's no. I know in the NFL they do like an automatic runoff, but not in college football.
I think Coach Cal's checking on that right now with the referee.
There's a minute 16 remaining in the game clock right now, and again, Monmouth leads this one 26-21. Hawks got out to a 17-0 lead. That was our halftime score. Robert Morris has scored 3 touchdowns in this second half. Hawks with a field goal and a touchdown run from Julian Hayes. MU also with a missed field goal on the day that right now is looming pretty large.
Well, you got that. You got the missed 2-point conversion. But, you know, the bottom line is the defense has got to do their job here. You know, we've been talking all year about, you know, the offense putting points up, average 29 points a game. Have 26 today.
So Kirsch will have to get helped off. Haven't seen that last timeout come off the board for Robert Morris, so I guess they keep it. And Sinclair getting right back to the line, trying to go to work. As Hayes and Mitchell sideline right. Pearl, sideline left. Sinclair pumps once, again steps up in the pocket, goes down the middle, got a man open, dropped the football to DJ Hayes. He was open. Hildebrandt Jr. came over late to make sure that he couldn't hang on to it, but Sinclair really did put that football on the money.
Sinclair once again doing a nice job evading the sack. Pat O'Hara almost had him, had a hand on him. Good job on the bull rush up front by number 49, Chris Luma, too. But that ball just sailed high, and they are really dodging a couple bullets. Got to think, maybe this sun thing is really something to it. I mean, the sun, much like at Monmouth, east to west, you don't see that a whole lot at football stadiums.
Two tight ends, two receivers into the game for Sinclair. He's under immediate pressure, and this time we'll get sacked. Eric Masick busted through the line first. Pat O'Hara cleans things up, and Robert Morris will be forced to call their final timeout of the day. 60 seconds remaining exactly on the clock. The Colonials have used that last timeout. We step out and take a timeout as well. 30-second spot here. We come back for the exciting conclusion of the 2012 finale on a second down, a third down and long right after this. Monmouth 26, Robert Morris 21. We're back with more Hawk football on the Shore Sports Network.
Follow Hawks football all season long on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com.
Third down and 16 as we come back from the timeout. Sinclair with his team trailing by five. Hawks up by five. Going back to work, stepping up in the pocket. Dumps one down over the middle, finds a man. The catch is made at the 20-yard line. Looks like it's going to be just shy of the first down. And it will be fourth and one. The season finale coming down to this right now. Sinclair trying to get up to the line. Clock running with 40 seconds. Organizing players. Split backfield. Two receivers off to the right. Sinclair looking. Goes over the middle. Has a man. The catch is made. It's DJ Hayes inside the 10. Gets down inside the 5. Now the clock will stop for just a second. They don't have to set the chains because it's first and goal. Sinclair will have to wait as Monmouth will call a timeout to make sure defensively they are settled. It'll be first and goal from the 4-yard line with 28 seconds remaining.
I mean, you go from third and 16, you give up a 15-yard pass underneath, which is, you know, it's not going to kill you, but you can't come right back on fourth and one and allow that kind of pass. You just can't. Can't allow them to get behind you like that. Can't feel good about this if you're a Monmouth Hawk, that's for sure. 28 seconds left. There's plenty of time to run four plays.
And the playbook is open for Robert Morris, too. They could run the football if they wanted to.
I probably would on this first down. Maybe throw it on first, run it on second. That's probably what I would do. Still have time to get up and clock it if you have to. Between these two teams are always really good.
Always very good. Robert Morris has come from behind a bunch here in the second half of the season, and an opportunity to do so right now. 26-21 as Sinclair up under center. Deontay Howard into the game along with Nick Rote, the two backs. And did Monmouth use another timeout? I believe that they did.
You better hope we get a stop here because you're asking a lot of your offense to come down and score. Even three.
We will keep it here. Let's check the NEC board again just to kind of reset things for you. Wagner beat Duquesne 23-17. Seahawks go to the playoffs. Everything else in terms of that doesn't matter. Fourth quarter, St. Francis, Pennsylvania leads Sacred Heart 44-24. In the third, it is Albany 49, Central Connecticut State 7. Great Danes could, I guess, hope for an at-large bid, but unlikely from the NEC with some of the other bigger conferences trying to threaten for at-large spots in the FCS playoffs. And the third quarter up and running in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, where Bucknell and Bryant are all tied at 14. We will forego much of the post-game show today to try and get you to Monmouth basketball as quick as we can. First down and goal for Robert Morris. Split back set, Howard and Grote. Man in motion is Evans. Here is Sinclair. Play action. Rolling. And will throw this one out of bounds. Good pressure applied by Pat O'Hara.
Pat Gray, too. two Pats getting in behind the line of scrimmage. Good job to blitz on that first down. You know, they're going to max protect and just let two guys out. When you have only 14 total yards to work with, you can start bringing a little bit of extra pressure. I wouldn't be surprised to see a run here, though. They do have 24 seconds, and they only need 4 yards.
Only took off 4 seconds of the clock. Howard and Grote again. Split backfield. Two receivers off to the right side. Inside carry for Howard. Stopped at the 3-yard line. Now Robert Morris has to get quickly to the line. 13, 12, and they will spike the football, the Colonials will. And it will come down to fourth and goal from the 3 with 12 seconds remaining. 26-21 Monmouth. Robert Morris will get back to the line. Our game today brought to you in part by Sonic Drive-In in Tinton Falls, located right off of Route 35 in the A&P Shopping Center, by Coach USA, driven with pride, and by your tri-state Chevy dealers. See your local Chevy dealer or visit ChevyOffers.com. The season ender comes down to this. 12 seconds remaining. Fourth and goal from the 3. Sinclair under center. Pitch. It's Grote stretching it out. Dives forward. Can he get in? He got in for the touchdown, but there is a penalty flag down thrown by the referee at the 10-yard line. Now he'll move the spot forward to the 5. They'll talk it over. Certainly this will be against Robert Morris. It is a holding call against the Colonials. And you've got to wonder if that was the block that got Grote into the end zone.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, if it was 4th and goal from the 5, this is game over. Hawks did a good job on it. Grote was just able to power through and get that extra yard. Good job by the MU defense. You need to come up with one more play, maybe to kind of save a season. Get to 500. Can't let St. Clair hurt you with his legs. You know he's going to look to do it. You know he's not looking pass first.
With the penalty, they haven't spotted the football quite yet. It was thrown at the 5, so it should go back to about the 15. They'll put it actually at the 13-yard line. So, again, we're back in the same scenario. Fourth and goal from now the 13-yard line.
I think you let them get out, get a picture of what they're trying to do, call timeout.
Dante Mitchell, the very talented wide receiver, split near sideline to the right. Ball is set from the right hash mark. The referees are still discussing things. Paul Evans, one tight end. Andrew Smith in at the other. There's a third tight end in DJ Pearson who has come into the game. And the single back is William Quarles. This is definitely a pass set, even with three tight ends into the game. 7 seconds to go in the 2012 season. 26-21, Monmouth. Sinclair will operate under center. Mitchell in motion. Sinclair wanting to throw, steps up in the pocket, lets it fly, incomplete, flags out. Flags have been thrown. Two flags. I think Sinclair was over the line.
Sinclair was definitely over the line of scrimmage.
And it would have been pass interference on Monmouth. They should cancel themselves out, and I believe that the game will come to a close with penalties thrown, one offense and one defense.
Looks like they're calling. It looked like they're calling a defensive hold, not a pass interference. At least that's what it looked like there.
What a crazy way to end a game! There are zeros up on the scoreboard. Monmouth leads by 5, and there has to be a referee discussion to determine whether or not what the penalties are first, and whether or not the game is over. Sinclair was over the line of scrimmage. They threw the flag at the 11-yard line. The line of scrimmage was the 13. That's one we know for sure. Right at the goal line, Monmouth was whistled for some kind of defensive infraction, pass interference, or a hold. With no time left on the clock, I think the question is, you know, you can't ever end a game on a defensive penalty, but maybe not on offsetting penalties.
I mean, I know over the line of scrimmage, I think, is a loss of down penalty, but not when you have the offsetting. I think it's going to be replay fourth down from, where were they, at the 13-yard line?
With no time on the clock.
That's right.
on time down. this is a major discussion because, again, think about it. You can't end the game on a defensive penalty, which Monmouth had. But with an offsetting situation, not sure how that plays into it. Let's see if we can pick up the referee mic. There is no defensive pass interference. Sinclair was over the line. It was incomplete anyway, and the Hawks will win the football game. What a crazy ending. MU wins it 26-21 and finish up their year with a thrilling victory in Moon Township. They take it by 5, 26-21, and there is a lot of angry Robert Morris players and coaches getting after the referees right now. We'll hold it here for just a second. I know we want to get to Hawk basketball, but just want to make sure that this does not unravel. There is a wild discussion going on right now between the Robert Morris coaching staff and the referees, who will now exit the field, and players will shake hands. You hear the boos from the stands. Hawks win this one 26-21. They end up their year 5-5, 4-3 in conference play. Robert Morris falls to 4-7, 3-5 in league play. Very briefly, Greg, great football game. Happy to have you along for the ride here today.
I'm 2-for-2 on last plays that decide the game. What a great job by the MU defense. You know, they had to go 99 yards. They gave up 96 of those. Able to get, you know, the penalty on the hold on this would-be touchdown and just hold on. Great play. And I thought that the front four, beleaguered by injuries today and earlier in the week, came up. Three sacks, numerous pressures, forced a lot of bad throws. Offense started hot. Julian Hayes ran really well. Kyle Frazier definitely no turnovers in his last game as a Hawk. It's all you can ask for.
We will invite you to check out GoMUHawks.com for the final stats in this one. We want to say goodbye from Moon Township to get you into Monmouth basketball. Tip-off coming up in the next minute or two. But some thank yous real quick to Lauren Majika back in the studios, who's done a great job for us all year long with MU football, and Phil Harding, who has helped out as well. Eddie Acapinti, my broadcast partner on most weeks. Greg Buscomi here as the Monmouth SID for football, who has done a magnificent job giving us information all day and was fantastic on the broadcast this afternoon. The executive director of the Shore Sports Network, Kevin Williams, for allowing us to be part of all of this activity on 1160, 1310 WOBM AM. We'll talk about this game and the Monmouth season as a whole when we do the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show Tuesday night. We'll do it at 6 o'clock, as again, we'll tie things in with a basketball broadcast in the afternoon. So we'll catch up on everything that happened here today. Final score, one more time, Monmouth 26, Robert Morris 21. For Greg Buscomi and all of us associated with Monmouth football and the Shore Sports Network, this is Matt Harmon saying so long from Western PA. The Hawks finish up the year at 5-5. You've been listening one more time to Monmouth University football on the Shore Sports Network.
You've been listening to the Monmouth Hawks on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. The Monmouth University Athletic Department would like to thank the following sponsors who made this broadcast possible. Coke Zero, football-related chest bumps, high fives, and trash talk. Brought to you by Coke Zero. Enjoy every day. The NJEA, making public schools great for every child. Atlantic Physical Therapy Center, with five locations in the Shore area, helping to get you back in the game. The Penalty Box Cafe, laser tag, arcade birthday parties, located at the Jersey Shore Arena in Farmingdale. First Atlantic Federal Credit Union, Barnabas Health, Sonic, America's Drive-In, and the Asbury Park Press. This is the Monmouth Hawks Radio Network, a production of the Monmouth University Department of Athletics.